March 11, The Daily Stoic. Living without restriction. The unrestricted person who has in hand what they will in all events is free. But anyone who can be restricted, coerced, or pushed into something against what they will is a slave. Epictetus, Discourses 4.1.128b and 129a. Take a look at some of the most powerful, rich, and famous people in the world. Ignore the trappings of their success and what they're able to buy. Look instead at what they're forced to trade in return. Look at what success has cost them. Mostly, freedom. Their work demands they wear a suit. Their success depends on attending certain parties, kissing up to people they don't like. It will require, inevitably, realizing they are unable to say what they actually think. Worse, it demands that they become a different type of people or do bad things. Sure, it might pay well, but they haven't truly examined the transaction. As Seneca put it, slavery resides under marble and gold. Too many successful people are prisoners in jails of their own making. Is that what you want? Is that what you're working hard towards? Let's hope not. A Year with C.S. Lewis. A simple, albeit comical, argument for Christian theology. Almost the whole of Christian theology could be perhaps deduced from two facts. A, that men make coarse jokes, and B, that they feel the dead to be uncanny. The coarse jokes proclaims that what we have here, an animal which finds its own animality either objectionable or funny. Unless there had been a quarrel between the spirit and the organism, I do not see how this could be. It is the very mark of the two not being at home together. But it is very difficult to imagine such a state of affairs as original, to suppose a creature which from the very first was half shocked and half tickled to death at the mere fact of being the creature it is. I do not perceive that dogs see anything funny about being dogs. I suspect that angels see nothing funny about being angels. Our feelings about the dead is equally odd. It is idle to say that we dislike corpses because we are afraid of ghosts. You might say, with equal truth, that we fear ghosts because we dislike corpses, not just one. For the ghost owes much of its horror to the associated ideas of pallor, decay, coffins, shrouds, and worms. In reality, we hate the division which makes possible the conception of either corpse or ghost, because the thing ought not to be divided. Each of the halves into which it falls by division is detestable. The explanations which naturalism gives both of bodily shame and of our feeling about the dead are not satisfactory. They refer us to primitive taboos and superstitions, as if these themselves were not obviously results of the thing to be explained. But once accept the Christian doctrine that man was originally a unity, that the present division is unnatural, and all the phenomena fall into place. From Miracles. Jesus calling, walk by faith, not by sight. As you take steps of faith, depending on Him, He will show you how much He can do for you. If you live your life too safely, you will never know the thrill of seeing Him work through you. When He gives you His Spirit, He empowers you to live beyond your natural ability and strength. That's why it is so wrong to measure your energy level against the challenges ahead of you. The issue is not your strength, but His, which is limitless. By walking close to Him, you can accomplish His purposes in His strength. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25.